Whenever we come to church to attend worship, we say the prayer of confession. And today in our service, we are taking the prayer of confession immediately after the sermon. After saying the prayer of confession, whoever leads the service proclaims absolution, declares assurance of forgiveness. In every Sunday worship, we say the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. In that prayer, we say, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So there again, we see the forgiveness which is sought, which is offered. So in our worship service, in all our worship services, we practice forgiveness. This is the place where forgiveness is practiced. The question is, do we truly practice forgiveness? Yesterday, in our men's breakfast meeting, we discussed about this topic. So I gathered all the discussion points and I have framed my sermon for this morning. So if I'm able to make the points clear, then the credit should go to our men who attended the discussion yesterday. And if it's not clear enough, then I should be blamed. Now, I want to say about our men's breakfast. We meet third Saturday in our church between 9 and 10:30 in the morning, and during which we not only have breakfast, but also we discuss various topics. And yesterday we discussed about forgiveness. God willing, when we meet on 21st of October, we are going to discuss from a book called The Men We Need. So if you are not part of the men's breakfast team, I invite you to join. Please meet with me. I will include you. It's just 1.5 hours every third Saturday morning. What is forgiveness then? We sometimes confuse between excusing and forgiving. If somebody just pushes you and you dropped books, you excuse them. You overlook him or her. It is not intentional. It happens all the time. You excuse people. But somebody hurts you. Cheating or bullying or some kind of harm. It hurts because it is a deliberate action against you. It is not excusing. You have only the option either to forgive or not to forgive. So we are talking about serious thing here. We are not simply talking about excusing. We are talking about forgiving. Bob Frankwist, an American author, he says, what is not forgiveness? So I thought I will first talk about what is not forgiveness. Four things he said. Number one, forgiveness is not justifying other person's action. Because you forgive, it doesn't mean that whatever he has done is fine or correct or okay. No. So you are, by forgiving, you are not justifying the action of the person. Number two, forgiveness is not waiting on the passage of time. Because we believe that time heals all wounds. So we think that, okay, I will wait for opportune time, or I will wait so that it will be automatically healed. That's not the case. the more you wait, the harder it becomes. The more you wait, it's being piled up. So time is not the healer. We need to deal with it. Now, the third point is, forgiveness is not denying that you are hurt. You say that, oh, it's not a big deal. No, it is not. We cannot take it like this. Forgiveness is accepting your hurt, and you deal it in God's way. You deal it in God's way. Fourthly, forgiveness is not automatically trusting them again. You forgave, therefore you are going to trust the person immediately. No, that's not correct. That's not the way we take it. We take both separately. You forgive them doesn't mean that everything is all right, but you forgave. Trust is different thing. Trust is something a person earns through wise choices and actions over a period. So trust is a different thing. Let us not confuse that. You forgave, but it doesn't mean that you are going to trust the person fully. Then the question comes, how I know that I have not forgiven? How I know that I have not forgiven? I'm still having the unforgiving heart. How do I know? There are three R's we can look at it so that we know if I have even one of them, then I know that I have not forgiven. Number one is revenge. I'm going to give back. If you have that in you, that means you are not, you have not forgiven. Number two, resentment. I am going to stay angry. I am going to keep it forever. And thirdly, remember. I will never forget. I will never forgive. I am going to remember it till the end. If you have one of these R's, then you can make sure, you can be sure that you have not forgiven. So while I said what is not forgiveness, I will give a quick definition from Archbishop Tutu about what is forgiveness, and then we move on. What he says is that forgiveness means abandoning your right to pay back the perpetrator in his own coin. Giving up resentment, but it is a loss that liberates the victim. Let me read again. Forgiveness means abandoning your right to pay back the perpetrator in his own coin, but it is a loss that liberates the victim. You are willing to take the loss so that the person is liberated. You are willing to pay the price so that the person can be liberated. That's what very beautifully Archbishop Tutu said. Now we need to remember before we go forward, if I'm having unforgiveness, unforgiving heart, then it is injurious, it is dangerous, it is consuming. Peter asked Jesus this question, how many times should I forgive? How many times should I forgive for the same offense? That's the question he asked. In fact, during Jesus' time, rabbis taught that they can forgive up to three times. Okay, you count. One, two, three. The fourth time, you don't need to forgive. You can take the person to the court and the punishment can be sought. Peter, being with Jesus, he understands Jesus' generosity. He added four more and said, Jesus, will that be all right if we forgive a person seven times? Probably seven is a full number, I don't know. But with being with Jesus, experiencing his generosity, he added and said, okay, Jesus, up to seven times, will that be all right? Jesus said, we know very interestingly, 770 times. In other words, Jesus said 7 multiplied by 70 is equal to 490 times. What does Jesus mean by that? Does it mean that you can forgive until 490 times? And when it comes to 491th time, you shouldn't forgive. Is that what Jesus says? Can we remember until 490 times? Yes, I have a problem with a person who deals with me angrily. He has anger issues with me. Yes, on 2021, on that particular day, he got angry with me in Dubai. Okay. And then 2 months later, can I remember? I don't think Jesus is talking about counting. No. What Peter is saying, how many times? What Peter is saying, he is saying, how long I should endure? How much should I endure? That's the question he is asking. But that question is based on a wrong definition of forgiveness. That's the reason he is asking how much I can endure, how long I can endure. No, no, no. So Jesus said innumerable times. In fact, what Jesus said is, if you try to remember, then it becomes a mental exercise, not heart exercise. Forgiveness is a heart exercise. Peter asked Jesus, is forgiveness limited? Jesus says it is unlimited, innumerable times. Peter asked, is it quantitative? Jesus says it is qualitative. Very beautifully, Jesus answered 770 times. Now, since Peter comes with the wrong definition of forgiveness, Jesus told a beautiful parable. That parable we listened. Very interesting parable. A king had several slaves, and one of the slaves he gave a lot, unimaginable. When Johann read, he read from a different translation there, it said gold, but if you look at other translations, 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents means, one talent is equal to 20 years of wage. So 10,000 talents means, somebody said, 60 million days of wage. 60 million days of wage. That means he has borrowed enormous money, huge amount. Probably he was a CEO of a central bank. A lot of money. This amount, whatever I'm saying, 60 million days of wage, could be the annual income of a small country. Lot of money, lot of money. Now, if we have to say 1 day wage is equal to 1 euro, then he has got 60 million euros to be paid. And 60 million euros he cannot pay. No way he can pay. But the master wanted him to give the account. He went and begged, sorry. Have mercy on me. I will pay it. How can he will pay it? But he said, I will pay it. But the king looked at him and said, okay, I know that you cannot pay it. So I forgive you. I sent you free. You don't owe me anything. Go. What a great relief. What a great relief. Now, as he was going out, he saw a person who has taken loan from him 100 days of salary, which means, okay, if you say 1 day salary is 1 euro, then he has taken 100 euros from him. That's all. Where is 60 million euros? Where is 100 euros? And from where did he give this 100 euros? He gave 100 euros not from his pocket. Whatever he has received from his king, he is giving to others. That's all. But he is unwilling to forgive. He is unwilling to forgive. To put it very simply, he has been, God has been so generous to us. The king has been so, so generous. The common sense is that if you receive mercy, you give mercy. The common sense is that if you have received generosity, then you also give generously. If you have received this much, if I had to put 60 million euros into a 100 bill, I may have to store all the money there in that space. 60 million euros in 100 bills, I had to store up in all that space. This much. And what you had to give, you only little. And he is unwilling to give. He is unwilling to give. Anyway, he is not the owner of that money, but still he is unwilling to forgive. There are three important truths about God's forgiveness. Number one, God does not count the times. He is generous. As soon as you say sorry, as soon as you turn back to him, he forgives you. He doesn't count anything else. We have to remember the prodigal son story. As soon as the son turned to the road which leads to his house, the father, who is a well-respected man in the society, he, you know, the story belongs to Middle East context. In Middle East, they wear a long robe. And in Middle East, they don't show their feet. They don't show anything, you know. They had to cover everything. They cannot show their feet. But the father, seeing him at a long distance, pulled up his robe, ran on the road. As soon as we turn back to him, he embraces us. Wonderful God. God does not count the times. As soon as you say sorry, as soon as you say, I am sorry, O Lord, he embraces you. Secondly, God does not grade our sins. Okay, you have done this much sin, which is unforgivable. You have done this much sin, therefore I am going to forgive you. No. He is not grading any sin. But we need to remember, all that we do against one another is against God. The prodigal son's prayer is that, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So whatever that I do in my body, whatever that I do against others, it's first a sin against God. So God is not going to grade it, but he is going to embrace us. There is nothing which is unforgivable. But sin against Holy Spirit is not forgiven. But I'm not going to talk about that. At some point we will talk about that. Thirdly, God doesn't keep the record of our wrongs. He doesn't keep a record. I remember a story once told. In a church, a lady came to the pastor and she would always say to him, Pastor, last week I went to heaven and I met with Jesus. The pastor was not so impressed about it. Okay. And one day, since she was saying that all the time, I went to heaven and I saw Jesus. So he caught her one day and said, okay, next time when you go to heaven, check with Jesus the sin that I committed when I was in the seminary. When I was under theological training, I committed a big sin. Just check with him, what is that sin? The lady will say, okay, no problem. I will go next time and then I will check. After 2 or 3 weeks, he met with that lady and he asked, did you go to heaven? Did you check with Jesus? She said, yes, I went to heaven. I met with Jesus. Oh, the pastor became very, very curious and he wanted to know, what did he say? What kind of sin I committed? She replied, Jesus says he doesn't remember. We have these beautiful words. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. His forgiveness is so good that he is not neither counting it, the times that he has forgiven, nor he grades it, you have done a big mistake, small mistake, nor he is remembering it. What a wonderful God we have. See, what he says is that if you are forgiven, then you should forgive others. The point is not the forgiveness is not originated in me. I am not the one who is the author of forgiveness. Jesus is the author of forgiveness. And he says, share that forgiveness with others. I have forgiven you. Go and forgive others. In other words, we all need to be forgiving all the time. He is forgiving us. There are two questions come to us. Very quickly, we will look at that question and then we will draw to our conclusion. Number one, should I forgive if he is not sorry or she is not sorry? Should I forgive if forgiveness is not sought after? Now, in this passage, both the one whom the king forgave pleaded, and also the one who took 100 denarii as loan, he also pleaded. So the Bible certainly talks about repenting and asking for forgiveness. Yes, but I can be ready to forgive anyone who has done wrong. Jesus forgave us. Did we ask for it? Did we ask that he should pay a price? When Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing, none of them were sorry, but he was ready to forgive. So be always prepared to forgive. The second question is, how long should, if you keep forgiving, what will happen? What will happen if you keep forgiving? They may do it again and again. This question comes to us. Yes, we keep sinning and we coming to the Lord and he is willing to forgive. How long this is going to go? How long this is going to go? Repeatedly we sin. Now, the only way through which God wants to restore us is through forgiveness. The only way. through which God wants to restore us is forgiveness, and he keeps forgiving. He keeps forgiving. But it doesn't mean that I can keep sinning. No. As I am receiving his forgiveness, I am understanding his nature. I know his character. I experience his generosity. How can I sin again? I'm having a personal relationship with him. You have personal relationship with your children, with your spouses. And if you keep doing that, you are in love with your spouse, you are in love with your children, and your children, when they see that it hurts your father, as you keep forgiving, they change their behavior. Keep forgiving. That's the only way we are going to restore our relationship. We are going to practice that. Now, we are going to practice in our homes first, and we are going to practice in our church. Someone said, no marriage can survive without forgiveness. Marriage is a long-term commitment between two sinners. So without forgiveness, no marriage can stay. Keep forgiving. And in our XEE program, we are talking about on-the-job training. If you have difficulty in forgiving your spouse, if you have difficulty in forgiving your children, remember that you have been given on-the-job training. You are going to exercise that forgiveness. Take that and practice. Now, I have two illustrations very quickly. I'll come to that. Before I come to those two illustrations, I have a question. Do you have someone to receive your forgiveness? If I ask you to raise your hands, I'm sure, including me, everybody raises the hand. But can we practice that? Do you have someone to receive your forgiveness? Now, these two illustrations are very interesting. One is a true story. Debbie Morris, she wrote a beautiful book called Forgiving the Dead Man Walking. Forgiving the Dead Man Walking. It has got a story. I'll quickly tell the story. Debbie, when she was 16 years old, she and her boyfriend were kidnapped by two men, and they were, both of them, her boyfriend and Debbie, were kept under their custody for 36 hours. But during those 36 hours, several things happened. Her boyfriend was killed, and she was repeatedly raped, and at last she was allowed to go. It remained in her deep anger, hatred, and she was indeed controlled by these two men all through. She considered herself a victimized person. But she thought, when justice is delivered, I would be healed. She couldn't progress in her life. But then she thought, when justice is delivered, she would be healed. So she waited. She waited for some milestones. She wanted these men to be captured. They were captured. And she wanted they to be brought in trial. Yes, they were brought into trial. And they were declared guilty. Good. One of them was executed. And she thought that now I would truly enjoy healing, but healing did not come. But when she realized the need of forgiving, When she forgave, that's where she got healing. She says this very beautifully. I want to read. When I was able to forgive, not only did the hate, anger, and pain go away, but the shame did too. When I chose to forgive, there was a prisoner that was set free, and I realized that the prisoner was myself. This book is available. You can find this book. Very interesting. Forgiving the Dead Man Walking. As I said earlier, unforgiving is injurious. It does more harm to us than the other person. The other illustration is by a book written by Lewis Thomas. He wrote a book called The Medusa and the Snail. Medusa and the Snail. Lewis Thomas is a biologic topic. He writes on biologic topics, and he's a writer on medical journal, and he wrote about jellyfish and things like that. Medusa is a jellyfish, a tiny jellyfish found in Naples, Bay of Naples. This jellyfish eats the slug of a snail. When it eats, the jellyfish Medusa thinks that he got a snack, a sweet snack. But when it got stuck in the digestive tract, the slug starts eating from inside. In fact, later, this slug eats the entire jellyfish and destroys. I have a quote from Mariana Williamson. She says, unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for other person to die. May the dear Lord help us so that we become a forgiving community. God bless us all. Amen. Let us pause for a moment and confess our sins to Almighty. Jesus said, before you offer your gift, go and be reconciled.